Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine, if you will, a quiet evening. Double-wide mobile home, Rancho Bonita.
Right. Walt and Lena Rizzo just settled in.
Watching TV.
Yeah.
And their little dog, Rambo, a schnauzer,
Yeah.
he needs to go out.
Yeah. And Walt gets up, even though his knees are bad, you know?
And that simple act, getting up, it saves Lena's life.
Just seconds later, bam, a naked man crashes right through their roof from the sky.
It's such a violent, totally bizarre image, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. A human body, terminal velocity, hitting plywood. The source material is, well, it's brutal about it.
Yeah, skull bursting open, blood everywhere. It tells you straight away this is not your standard tidy mystery.
No way. It's chaotic, it's messy, and it's just deeply strange from page one.
Exactly. And that shocking moment, that's really our way into this deep dive today.
We're going way beyond just the headline, you know, man falls from sky.
We're using the source material we have. These are excerpts from a book to really understand the full story.
Yeah.
And it is, well, it's wild, incredibly complex.
Yeah. So our mission here is to kind of sift through these pages like a detective with
We're
clues.
pulling out the key facts, the surprising bits, and piecing this whole complex thing together for you.
Think of it as your shortcut. You get the full strange picture without digging through it all yourself. We'll guide you.
Okay, so let's start right there. The crash scene, the immediate aftermath, that really sets the stage.
Right. The Rizzo's mobile home is basically destroyed.
And it's only because Walt's knees were acting up and Rambo needed out that they weren't sitting right where he hit.
Just that small human detail saved them. The destruction, though, total. A
Yeah.
body at that speed.
Yeah. Incompatible with the structure.
And the body itself
Yeah.
gives them almost nothing at first.
Naked. So no ID.
And the pathologist, they nickname him Dr. Yorkie.
Because he looks like a terrier.
Apparently, he finds no obvious foul play initially, but how could you really tell with those
Good
injuries?
point. Fingerprints, dental records, they run everything.
And get back NORR. Nothing on record.
Wow. Nothing on record. That's a huge red flag right there. Who is this guy?
Exactly. Who doesn't exist in any system?
And adding to the mystery, the toxicology samples.
Sent off, yeah. But the results will take like over a week.
And that delay that turns out to be pretty significant as the story unfolds.
Definitely. But eventually they do ID him.
Okay. Who is he?
He's Pete Hostetler, but everyone knew him by his call sign, Chalks.
Chalks. Where does that come from?
It's a great story, actually, from his Air Force days, Desert Shield, his very first combat mission in an A-10. He's all keyed up, right? Eager to go.
Okay.
And he almost hits the burners while the wheels are still blocked by the chocks, those wooden blocks.
Oh, wow. Embarrassing.
Totally. But it stuck. Became his nickname for life.
And this is where our main character from the source material, Cordell Logan, comes in.
Yeah, he knew Chalks.
Knew him how?
They weren't just like buddies, they were wingmen. Flew together in the Air Force during Operation Deep Fury, which was Desert Storm.
Okay, so this isn't just some random news story for Logan. It's personal.
Deeply personal, and Logan's background. It's crucial here.
He's trying to live a calmer life now.
Yeah, he's a flight instructor in Rancho Bonita, trying to leave behind his old life, doing covert stuff for Uncle Sugar, as he calls the government.
Uncle Sugar, right. He lives in a converted garage apartment.
With his cat, Kitty,
Yeah.
who sounds like, well, not the friendliest cat.
And the source gives that funny anecdote about him teaching his landlady, Mrs. Schmulowitz, to fly.
Oh, yeah. Trying to explain the yoke isn't the steering wheel, the rudder pedals.
I
And
don't.
she's got the spilks,
Cheaters.
yeah, jitters. And she wants to be Amelia Earhart. It really grounds Logan in this, like, seemingly normal world.
A normal world that this crazy death is about to just blow up.
Completely. And then there's Lane Sterling, his sort of complicated relationship,
Right. She's a former CIA intelligence analyst herself.
which is key. She's worried about him, wants him to settle down, but she gets the world he came from.
And her background becomes important later, I bet.
Very important. This whole thing just drags Logan right back into that dangerous world he tried to escape.
So the news starts reporting more details. Chalks is identified publicly.
Decorated Air Force vet, yeah. 22 years flying for Delta Airlines.
And most recently, Chief Operating Officer, COO of Electrogenics.
A company in Santa Isabella that supposedly makes animated children's toys.
Animated toys, okay, and the police investigation.
Based on the scene, they're quickly treating it as a homicide.
So Logan starts looking into it himself. He goes to the memorial service, meets the family.
And it's awkward, like incredibly awkward and kind of revealing.
He meets the widow, Miranda Hostetler, and her brother, Marvin.
Yeah, and Miranda's behavior at the service is something else. The source describes her as dry-eyed, fanning herself with her checkbook.
Checkbook? Seriously?
Yeah. Wearing spike heels, low-cut dress, just zero visible grief.
Wow. And later, she talks to Logan about Chocks.
And she does not hold back. Calls him a first-rate asshole.
Ah.
Says he was always chasing all those little bitches, only cared about himself.
That's quite a eulogy.
Delivered right to Logan,
yeah.
Not exactly standard grieving widow stuff.
And the brother, Marvin.
He's there too, looking sweaty, uncomfortable in a bad suit.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually says, out loud, that he hated Chocks. Even thought about killing him.
He admits that, publicly.
Yeah. But then he adds, not like this, which is such a weird qualifier.
Definitely suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
But not like this. What does that even mean?
Exactly. Puts him on the list, but it's odd.
And amidst all this family drama, Miranda gives away Chocks' dog.
Yeah, Ak-Ak, a beagle. Lane ends up adopting him.
Oh, that's nice.
And apparently Ak-Ak immediately bonds with Lane, even Mrs. Shmulevitz. Big contrast to Logan's cat, Kitty.
A little bit of warmth in a dark story.
Right. And Lane, as we said, her CIA background, it's not just about her worrying for Logan. She has skills.
Contacts. She's trying to keep him grounded, but she's also equipped for this kind of thing.
Precisely. Meanwhile, Logan does what Logan does. He starts digging.
That comment from Marvin.
Mm.
Plus the way Chocks died.
Makes Marvin a suspect. So Logan checks FAA records.
And finds.
Bingo. Marvin has pilot ratings, commercial, and helicopter.
Helicopter. That fits the theory perfectly.
Yeah.
Pushed from an aircraft.
Exactly. Logan takes this to the detectives.
How do they react?
Probably like you'd expect. Pretty skeptical about some civilian flight instructor showing up with aviation theories about their homicide case.
Yeah, I can imagine. So the investigation shifts focus towards Electrogenics, the toy company.
Right. Where Chocks was COO, Logan goes for a visit, meets the CEO, Ed Millison.
Ed Millison. The description in the source is pretty memorable.
Oh, yeah. Crazy Einstein hair, flip-flops, pink cargo shorts.
Pink cargo shorts.
Pink cargo shorts. Grateful Dead t-shirt, peace sign tattoo. Does not look like a CEO.
Okay. And what's his story about Chocks?
Immediately claims Chocks was a drunk. An embezzler. Says he fired him recently.
Huh. But Logan senses something's off.
Instantly. As soon as he gets onto the Electrogenics property, things don't add up.
Like what?
The guards. They're wearing these weird zookeeper jumpsuits.
Zookeeper jumpsuits.
Yeah, but they're carrying serious hardware. Military grade H&K MP5 submachine guns.
Okay. That's not normal for a toy company.
Not at all. And while Logan's there, he sees this large wooden crate.
A crate?
Yeah, marked with all this complex technical jargon, being loaded onto a truck.
And where's the truck going?
It's destination labeled DARPA, Defense Sciences Office, in Virginia.
DARPA, the Defense Research Agency, from a toy company.
Exactly. Logan's gut feeling about Millicent lying about Chocks being a thief just gets stronger. It wasn't the guy Logan knew, wasn't in his DNA, as he puts it.
So you've got heavily armed guards, a CEO who looks like he wandered off a commune, and a mystery crate going to DARPA.
Yeah. It screams that Electrogenics is doing way more than making, you know, teddy bears.
This is where things really escalate, isn't it? Beyond just a possible murder.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking potential cutting-edge tech, maybe national security implications.
So Logan needs someone to decipher that crate jargon. He calls his mechanic friend.
Larry Kropp. Yeah. Larry's the guy who can make sense of the technical stuff.
And what does Larry say is likely in that crate?
Well, he uses these incredibly complex terms. Antenna displaced phase centering, phase coherent klystron transmitters, stuff like that.
Sounds like sci-fi.
Totally. For airborne moving target indication radars. But Larry boils it down.
Okay, the simple version.
This hardware helps better separate the wheat from the chaff, find the real enemy signals and all the noise, and Larry puts it bluntly, kill him first.
Oh, so definitely military tech, sophisticated radar components.
Confirmed. This is not a toy company. It's a front for advanced defense technology.
Which just deepens the whole mystery. How does that even happen? A toy company making military radar?
And there's another layer with Millicent. He seems to have some local clout.
How so?
One of the guards, like a courtesy guard, mentions Millicent is the president of the Santa Isabella Sheriff's Citizen Advisory Council.
Okay, so he's connected locally. Powerful.
Mm-hmm. And then Logan throws out a name associated with Mexican drug money, Gerald Whitlock.
And Millicent reacts.
Visibly reacts, which confirms Logan's suspicion. Electrogenics, this military tech front, probably has ties to cartel money too.
Man. So tech CEO, military hardware, local power, and Mexican cartels. This web is getting seriously complex.
It paints this picture of deep corruption all hidden behind, you know, cartoon characters.
So Logan keeps digging, but outside official channels now, he finds an eyewitness.
Yeah, Charlotte. A teenager living rough in a Winnebago near the crash site.
She's hesitant to talk at first.
Very. Scared of the police. But she eventually trusts Logan.
And what does she see?
She saw a man fall from a helicopter.
A helicopter. Okay, that confirms Logan's theory. Did she get any detail?
She thinks it was silver, maybe an MD-500 model.
And she begs Logan not to tell the cops.
Yeah. Which just highlights how vulnerable people on the fringes are, you know? Adds a real human cost to Logan's digging.
Okay, so eyewitness confirms the helicopter.
Yeah.
Logan tries the FAA again.
Calls that investigator, Paul Horvath, hoping this new info helps.
And Horvath
is still reluctant. Really reluctant. He eventually says the radar tracks showed nothing that night. No low-flying aircraft. No one with their transponder off near Santa Isabella.
So official story is nothing was there.
Pretty much. And Horvath refuses to help further. Won't even check a tail number Logan spotted N29VG seen on Millicent's assistant's truck.
He just shuts him down.
Completely. And then gives Logan this really ominous warning. Tells him pursuing this is going to get him killed.
Wow. Okay, that's not just unhelpful. That's threatening. Tells Logan he's onto something big and powerful people are involved.
Exactly. Official doors are slammed shut, so Logan turns to his own network.
His former battle buddy, Buzz.
Yeah, Buzz. The guy who can get info Logan can't get through normal means, makes those early morning calls.
And Buzz finds.
Checks that tail number, N29VG, nothing comes up online immediately. But he checks another number that surfaced, N72700.
7700. Isn't that the emergency transponder code?
It is. Interesting, right? Buzz finds N7700 is linked to a company called Tranquil Air.
Tranquil Air.
Okay.
So Buzz is the counterpoint to the official stonewalling. Need those informal networks.
Absolutely. And the layers just keep peeling back. More connections, more suspicion.
Logan's investigation leads him down an even more dangerous path now. To a drug kingpin.
Yeah. Gervasio Pasqua. Described as maybe the biggest drug kingpin in North America.
Getting to him sounds risky.
Oh, it is. Crossing the border, bodyguards, and then this completely bizarre scene unfolds.
Oh, wow, that's...
A kidnapping attempt turns into a plate-throwing fight, and Pasqua ends up killing one of his own guys, Zuniga.
Just kills him.
Right there, yeah. And the source adds this darkly funny detail. Pasqua says he never liked Zuniga's mustache anyway.
That's chillingly casual. Shows the world Logan stepped into.
Totally volatile, unpredictable. But Pasqua actually talks to Logan about Chocks.
Yeah, what's his story?
Surprisingly, he says he hired Chocks as his personal pilot.
To fly what? Drugs?
Not exactly. Pasqua says Chocks was flying cloaking devices for his international business, not toys.
Cloaking devices, like stealth tech. Related to the radar stuff.
Sounds like it. And here's Pasqua's crucial take. He believes Chocks was killed because he was about to go to the FBI about electrogenics.
Okay, so Pasqua thinks Chocks was a whistleblower.
Yeah. And Pasqua actually expresses respect for Chocks as a pilot and a man. And Logan. Logan believes him.
Believes the drug kingpin over the tech CEO.
Yeah.
That completely flips the narrative again.
Right. It's not Marvin. It's not simple embezzlement. It's about exposing something big.
And the plot thickens even more. A connection to a mortuary.
Yeah. This guy skips Suggs at the airport, points Logan towards a local mortuary, and tells him to bring a gun.
Bring a gun to a mortuary, okay?
Logan goes, meets Phoebe, who's described as looking kind of fake blonde, and Johnny Baylor, who looks like Mr. Vegas.
Mr. Vegas.
Yeah. They deny knowing this guy, the Greek Dimitris Tomalonis, who used to be involved with the place.
But Phoebe knows more.
Clearly.
Yeah.
She's terrified, but calls Logan later, secretly.
What does she reveal?
She confirms the Greek was forced out. Pressured to sell the mortuary and other businesses to Johnny Baylor and, get this, a group of investors.
And who are the investors?
She names two key players, a Mexican drug dealer, presumably Pasqua, and a Russian investor.
Okay, here we go.
This Russian owns the Red Square West restaurant right there in Rancho Bonita and claims to have ties to Putin.
Wow, okay. Ties to Putin. This just went international. And Phoebe?
She flees right after the call. Terrified for her life.
Understandably. So that call is the moment the Russian connection becomes concrete.
Absolutely. Which leads Logan and Lane to pay a visit to this Russian restaurant owner.
Nikolai Andreev at Red Square West. How does that go?
He's hostile at first. Doesn't want to talk.
But he eventually gives them something.
Yeah. A tip. About a regular customer. Says it's a Russian family, fluent in Russian and Ukrainian. Mm-hmm. The husband is married to the daughter of a known KGB officer.
KGB connection.
Yeah. Always armed, travels between LA and Santa Isabella, linked to Russian intelligence.
That's incredibly specific. Logan passes this on.
To the Santa Isabella detectives, yeah. Hoping it connects with what they know or should know.
And Lane, with her CIA background, she starts digging into this Russian angle too.
Definitely. Her contacts and knowledge are crucial now. She recognizes a name that pops up, Sokolov.
Sokolov.
A Russian oligarch. She knew of him from her CIA days, describes him as a sadist, untouchable.
Okay, and she links him too.
Possibly to Tranquil Air. That company Buzz found connected to the N7700 tail number.
Ah, Tranquil Air again. The pieces are starting to click together, an international conspiracy.
It really looks that way. And Lane manages to get more.
What's that?
She gets her hands on a redacted CIA memo.
A CIA memo how?
Her connections. and the memo is explosive. It links Electrogenics.
The toy company.
Directly to potential covert ties with Russia's Unit 29155.
Unit 29155, what's that?
Their ultra-secret electronics warfare directorate.
So the memo suggests Electrogenics might be secretly dealing with Russian military intelligence, selling them tech.
That's the implication, and Logan, with his background, puts it all together.
Okay, what's his theory now?
Based on that memo, Pesco's story, everything, Chalks was likely the domestic intelligence asset mentioned in the document.
Chalks was working for U.S. intelligence. Inside Electrogenics.
It seems so. He was the insider who discovered this illegal transfer of classified military radar tech to Russia.
And he was killed, just like Pasqua thought, right before he could blow the whistle to the FBI.
Exactly. His death wasn't random, wasn't just about embezzlement or jealousy. It was about stopping him from exposing this massive international espionage and illegal tech transfer operation.
Wow. So that bizarre image of him falling from the sky, it was the desperate end act of a huge conspiracy.
Hidden inside a toy company involving Russian spies, Mexican cartels, corrupt locals.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
So they have the why now. Illicit tech transfer. Chalks was silenced. They need proof, right? Proof against Millicent.
Right. And Lane steps up, using her CIA skills, plans an undercover op.
What's the plan?
Hidden camera. Logan calls Millicent, lures him to his ridiculously lavish estate, pretends he needs to talk.
That estate. Greek gods, fountain, Rottweilers.
Yeah, totally over the top. Logan confronts him directly, asks about the radar parts, Chalks' death.
And Millicent denies it all.
Stonewalls completely. Even denies owning a jet, which Logan knows is a lie because of that N29VG tail number.
Okay, so direct confrontation doesn't work. Time for Lane's op.
She sets up a meeting with Millicent later at a bar, posing as a potential investor.
Aphrodite Williams from New Zealand with an accent.
Yep, fake accent and all. Millicent, thinking she's some rich foreign investor, starts trying to impress her.
And starts boasting.
Big time. Says Electrogenics does pretty high-level stuff, proprietary defense technology. Talks about getting international contracts by greasing palms.
He's basically confessing without realizing it.
Exactly. Walking right into it. All captured on Lane's hidden camera pendant.
Then comes the moment of truth.
Lane drops the accent. Confronts him. Directly. About Chalks. About the helicopter. About selling radar components to Moscow.
And he cracks. She gets the confession.
She gets it, and that's the signal.
What happens next?
Moments later. Chaos. SWAT team storms the bar. Helicopter overhead.
Lang called it in.
Yep. Alerted her CIA contact as soon as she had the confession on tape. Millicent is stunned. Caught completely off guard. Arrested. His bodyguard, too.
Okay. Case closed, right? CEO arrested. Conspiracy exposed. Seems like the end.
You'd think so. But this story? It has one more absolutely bizarre twist.
Seriously? What now?
It brings us back to a character we barely noticed at the beginning. Pastor Cyrus Simpson.
The pastor. The one who did Chalk's memorial service.
Mm-hmm.
Soft-spoken, paunchy guy.
That's him. Logan starts feeling uneasy. Lane mentions Simpson's name, and Logan suddenly feels sick, like food poisoning, sick from breakfast.
And he connects that to the pastor.
A sudden, horrible suspicion hits him. This leads to this incredibly tense scene.
What happens?
Logan, despite feeling really ill, has a flight lesson scheduled with Simpson. In his vintage plane, the Duck.
He takes the pastor flying while feeling sick and suspicious.
Yeah. Simpson seems nervous at first, but once they're up in the air, he changes.
How so?
The nervousness vanishes. He becomes calm, confident, almost disturbingly so.
Okay, that's creepy.
Then Logan, maybe testing him, asks Simpson to set the transponder to 7700, the emergency code.
And Simpson
doesn't ask what it is. He knows it's the emergency code, and he refuses. Reveals he knows aviation procedure, confirms Logan's worst fears.
He's not just a pastor.
Not even close. He then reveals he wasn't nervous about flying, just waiting for the right moment, and he tries to crash the plane right then and there.
Oh my God, mid-air attack. While Logan's sick.
Yeah. Frantic struggle for the controls. Logan's fighting the plane, the pastor, and food poisoning.
How does he survive?
Miraculously manages a crash landing out in the middle of the Mojave Desert.
Both survived the crash.
Initially, yes. And then, in this final, almost darkly funny moment, Logan uses the plane's fire extinguisher, the one Larry the mechanic had just serviced and liberated, to knock Simpson out after the crash.
Uses a fire extinguisher on the pastor attacker.
But wait, it gets even weirder. The final twist for Simpson.
Go on.
After surviving the crash, being subdued by Logan, Pastor Simpson gets bitten by a rattlesnake.
And dies.
Killed by a rattlesnake after all that.
Yep. A bizarre, almost unbelievable end for the final villain.
So Logan's stranded in the desert, injured.
Wakes up in the dark, grazed by a gun grunt to the head during the struggle, leg injury from the crash.
How does he get rescued?
Surprisingly fast. A San Bernardino County Sheriff's helicopter shows up. Deputy Wiener, Sergeant Zuniga.
How did they find him so quickly?
They tell him someone pulled a few strings in Washington.
Lane.
It was Lane. She got suspicious when Logan mentioned Simpson, especially with the Russian stuff they'd uncovered.
So she used her contacts.
Called a CIA friend. They checked classified records and found out Pastor Cyrus Simpson wasn't just a pastor. What was he?
He had long-standing ties to Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service. The SVR.
The pastor was a Russian spy. All along.
A deep cover agent. Lane tracked the Duck's transponder online until it vanished, then called in the cavalry to his last known location.
Wow. And Simpson was also impersonating an FBI agent.
That's what the deputies tell Logan. Explains that weird FBI visit to Larry's hangar earlier. Just more misdirection by Simpson.
Unbelievable layers of deception. So Logan recovers.
Yeah. Remarkably fast. Stupendous. Amazing, the source says.
And he and Lane, they talk.
Yeah, a poignant moment. She basically says she cares for him, but they're different. He can't settle down. He lives by that motto.
Who dares wins.
Exactly. And he proves it by flying the damaged duck out of the desert himself off a dangerously short dirt strip. Needs an updraft. A miracle, but he does it.
Who dares wins. Okay. The news reports clear him.
Yeah, clears the Rancho Bonita flight instructor. The public never gets the full story, of course.
And Logan finds something back at the crash site.
Yeah, amidst the wreckage of the mobile home. Chalks St. Joseph of Cupertino medallion, patron saint of pilots, a small piece of his friend.
A connection back to the beginning. Does he visit Chalk's grave?
Yeah, unmarked grave. Logan struggles for words, reflects on Chalk's, his choices, his own path.
So let's try and tie all these crazy threads together.
Okay. It starts with that bizarre death, naked man falling from the sky.
Which leads into this incredibly complex web, a toy company.
That's actually a front for classified military radar technology.
Being illegally sold to Russian intelligence. Unit 29155, the SVR.
With connections to Mexican drug cartels, a corrupt local CEO.
And a seemingly normal pastor who turns out to be a longtime Russian spy and murderer.
And Pete Schock's Hostetler, the victim, was caught in the middle.
Likely the inside source, the intelligence asset, who discovered the whole thing.
Killed right before he could expose it, just like Pasqua thought.
Yeah.
A consequence of trying to do the right thing in this incredibly dangerous game.
Where corporate greed, organized crime, and international espionage all intersected.
And the source material notes the author's background: pilot, journalist, intelligence contractor. You can see how that informs the blend of aviation, mystery, espionage.
It all comes together in the story. It really shows how these huge, complex global issues.
Espionage, crime syndicates, secret tech deals.
Can be operating completely hidden, right under the surface of everyday life.
Yeah.
A toy company, a local pastor.
Yeah, it really hammers home the importance of looking past appearances, questioning things.
And how piecing together the truth, like Logan did, is messy. Dangerous. You have to connect dots that seem totally unrelated.
Relying on instinct, your network, especially when official channels are blocked or compromised, uncovering links between worlds you'd never think connect.
Like cartels, tech secrets, and foreign spies, all in Rancho Bonita.
So it leaves you thinking, doesn't it? This incredibly complex plot, all these players.
Was Chuck's death just the inevitable result of being an asset trying to expose a crime, trying to do the right thing?
Or, you know, were there other things, deeper things in his own life, his choices, maybe more mundane stuff, that set him on that path to begin with? We don't fully know his whole story.
That's a good question. And it makes you wonder, how do the seemingly normal people, the normal places around us, how might they fit into these hidden complexities, these unseen forces playing out in the world? What's really going on beneath the surface?